Disclaimer, I do not own Naruto. I own two horribly injured knees that should in no way, shape, or form belong to a healthy 19-year-old male. However, when you aspire to knee in faces for a living, eventually they're going to wear down, right? Chapter 8, Do the Wave. The morning after Tazuna's story about Inari's stepfather Kaiza and what happened to the Land of Waves, Naruto was outside bright and early, with his clones in a single file line, so he could practice his more devastating attacks until someone else came out and his day could officially get started. Another of Naruto's clones walked up to him to go through a walkthrough of one of Naruto's moves. It stepped in front of a kick that Naruto caught and spun through to smash it in the face with a back elbow, dispelling it. His mind was firmly planted on the story he heard the previous night. Hearing about what Gato had done to a man trying to keep his land prosperous and free made Naruto sick. If he get one clean shot at Gato while he was there, he would freely take it. Also, hearing about Kaiza made Naruto wonder how Inari could say such a thing, that heroes didn't exist. If not then, what had all of Kaiza's actions been? Had they served any purpose to the boy at all? Such a traumatic experience would obviously mess with his worldview, but if that was how he really felt, that they were all going to die, then what did that little boy think was going to happen to his grandfather? Did he think he was going to walk on home after they were all finished off? No, he was the real target. If Gato could kill Tazuna without even having to deal with the Konoha ninja, then he would. The only reason he would possibly even care about them was because they would be protecting Tazuna. Naruto continued to work his attacks with his clones until the front door opened to reveal the remnants of Team 10 and Team 7 coming out the door. As the boys headed out to the forest with Kakashi, Asuma walked over to Naruto and motioned for Ino and Sakura to walk over to him, and for Naruto to do so as well. "Okay, girls, you both did well learning tree walking, but today you'll learn water walking like Naruto here has. Naruto, if you would demonstrate." Dispelling his clones, Naruto walked to the edge of the dock and jumped off, landing on the surface of his feet. "It's like sticking to the tree, except the water's always moving. You have to match the amount of chakra you need to go with the flow of the water." He stopped and thought for a moment. "You're going to want to take your clothes off, too." "Naruto!" Ino and Sakura yelled at him. "We're not getting undressed out here, you pervert." Naruto's cheeks heated up, and he looked away, grateful he was standing on the water, something they couldn't do at the moment. "I didn't mean like that, you guys. I meant, you know what? Never mind. Go ahead. Do what you want." He jumped back onto the dock and circled around so that he had Asuma as a buffer between him and the rather perturbed females. "I don't know why you're looking at me. Get to it." He hid behind Asuma when they glared at him. "Don't play with fire, kid," thought Asuma to himself. All right, he's right. Both of you get started. Naruto, leave a clone here, would you?" Naruto did what he was asked, making a clone to watch over Sakura and Ino's progress. He sent it over the edge of the dock, where it sat down and waited for Sakura and Ino to start. "Oi!" he shouted to them before they could walk away. "Don't pop him." Sakura nodded and kept walking. "Ino," he said dangerously. Ino rolled her eyes. "Fine, I won't destroy your clone if I get pissed off." "Happy?" Naruto gave her a dry look. "No, not really." He and Asuma began to walk towards the house. "So, what are we going to do to..." He turned his head around before they reached the porch. "Actually, hold on a second." Yuri looked at Ino and Sakura, and Asuma let out a small chuckle as he saw them both walk towards the water. "So how do we do this, forehead?" Ino asked Sakura as they passed Naruto's shadow clone, ignoring its knowing smirk. "Naruto said it was like walking on the tree, so it can't be that hard," Sakura said, trying to work out Naruto's advice. "Let's just do it." Ino smirked. "I bet I could beat you out to the middle of the water, forehead." Sakura growled at Ino's challenge. "You're on, Ino Pig. Have fun sitting on the dock." Both girls channeled chakra to their feet and jumped off to the deck onto the water, falling underneath immediately with a resounding splash. Naruto and the Naruto clone began laughing uproariously, while Asuma let out a few amused laughs as well. Naruto had been leaning on the wall of the house, and his clone had been rolling on the pier as Sakura and Ino pulled themselves out of the water. Naruto wiped a tear from his eye. "Okay, Asuma-sensei, what are we doing today?" Asuma moved towards the front door. "You're going to help me watch Tazuna today, but since you've been so good about getting yourself in gear, I guess I can throw you a bone and give you a jutsu to work on while we're out there. It's not like you can get any from anywhere else." Naruto grinned at his sensei at the front as the front door opened until a smile dropped. "Wait, Hold on. Shadow clone jutsu. He made another clone. Protect yourself this time. The clone saluted him and ran back to the dock, where Naruto yelled at the girls. I said, don't hit my damn clones. That's the last one. You do it again, and you're on your own for the day. Figure it out yourself. Asuma went inside the house as the girls yelled back at him, Sakura in particular. Then tell your stupid clones not to laugh at us. Arshino's clones shared a look before shouting out the reply. It was funny, Naruto elaborated. If it had been me, everyone watching it would have been getting their 8 chuckles off of it. So, Sakura yelled back at him. Naruto said, just don't break that one. He's the last one you're getting. I'm not wasting chakra just so you can have a punching bag to vent on, Sakura-chan. Asuma came back outside with Tazuna in tow as they all began to walk to the site of the bridge for the day. Sakura huffed indignantly as Naruto's clone took a seat to watch them to continue to work on their water walking. Sakura turned to Ino, who was about to try again. Who does Naruto think he is, telling us what to do like he's the leader? Ino shrugged and continued trying to channel chakra into defeat. He's the strongest one on the team. I know it. Shikamaru knows it. The only one who really doesn't like thinking that way is Naruto himself, but it's true. Sakura flipped her wet hair back and smirked. Well, no matter. He's still not stronger than Sasuke-kun. Ino didn't immediately leap to agree with her, which surprised her. Right? He's not stronger than Sasuke-kun. Ino stopped concentrating. She honestly thought about her answer. I don't know. Honestly, I can't answer that question, Forehead. If I just said yes, it wouldn't be fair. I mean, he's not weak. Not even close. I'm so glad that you think the boss isn't a wimp. Both girls turned their head to see Naruto's clones sitting nearby, giving them a deadpan look. You guys should really get back to working on this. It should take you all day to get it. And by get it, I mean to be able to fight freely on the water. Blushing at getting caught trying to talk about someone behind his back and failing, and taking Naruto's clone's words to mind, Ino started focusing on her chakra again. Now stop distracting me, Forehead. I have to get this. And with that, both girls returned to their new training exercise for the day. Naruto sat off to the side of the work area, with his clones posted as sentries all over the bridge building site. Though surprised at first, the sight of the many functional orange-clad blonde ninjas put the workers at more ease and had the day of work carry on rather smoothly. Every so often, Naruto was letting off a burst of the chakra echolocation jutsu to monitor places he couldn't really see on his own, and found that when it came to people he knew, it was getting easier to distinguish more subtle figures. As it was getting easier and easier to locate Asuma and tell which outline was his, no matter where he followed Tazuna at on the bridge. Up close, he could even start to make out people's facial features and physical details, with nothing else but the jutsu and not his eyes. Asuma walked with Tazuna to check in and is more or less head of security. Do you have anything strange, Naruto? Anything suspicious to look out for? Naruto shook his head. No, Asuma-sensei. The clones that went ahead and popped themselves to show me something were all false alarms. Everything's clear as far as I can find. Well then, Asuma said with a grin. I guess it's time to teach you a new jutsu. He saw Naruto hop to his feet, eager in anticipation. Kid, you're going to be learning something a lot of genin don't get to learn, especially this early. You're learning the body flicker. With that, in order to demonstrate, he immediately disappeared in a burst of smoke and reappeared at the top of the crane, a good distance away, before doing it again and returning to Tazuna's side in a matter of moments. Naruto's eyes widened, as that had been the jutsu he had bugged the third Hokage to learn and ended up in the library for the first time. How do I do it? Asuma placed the boy's hands in a ram seal. You're going to have to channel chakra throughout your body enough for a temporary boost of speed. Your movements should be covered by a puff of smoke that usually covers you when you use it. When you get better at it, you can make it even flashier to distract your opponents. But for now, you'll have smoke. Ino began training his new jutsu, one that he had actually wanted to learn for a while. Naruto began to work before asking a question. Any advice? Asuma nodded. Yeah, don't try to go too far with it or too short a distance. It's meant to cover some ground, but it isn't anything to move long distances with. It's more along the lines of something you can get out of sight. Going too short would be a waste, since anyone with half an ability to sense chakra could tell where you're going, and it's not fast enough to get the drop on someone that already knows you're there. Don't use it in the middle of the battle. Only one guy I ever heard of could, and that's because he cast Genjutsu before he started using it. He ruffled Naruto's hair. Now get to it, kid. It helps to have a good knowledge of where you want to go, either by being able to see it or by it being a familiar place. Naruto shrugged and began to go through the motions while Asuma held Tazuma back from continuing on his way so that they could watch his first attempt. Naruto thought of aiming for the top of the crane like Asuma did, and did so. Okay then, body flicker jutsu. Naruto's body was shrouded in a puff of smoke. Clang! Asuma burst out laughing loudly when he saw Naruto belly up right next to the crane with a massive bump on his head. Watch that tunnel vision, Naruto. It's hard to see properly when you use that to move. That's why it's good for moving in straight lines. The guy that mastered the move had Sharingan, so he could see things slower. He didn't have that disadvantage. Naruto rolled over amid the laughter from the workers, and even his own clones who had seen it heard him hit. I hate you, Asuma-sensei. Asuma walked up and picked him back up onto his feet. Oh, you don't mean that, kid. Take it slow with this one. He pointed at a group of around 10 Naruto clones who were using the jutsu back and forth along the bridge. They're getting it. Just do it along the ground for now, before you try to use it in elevated spots. Naruto growled at his clones. Oi, get your asses to work. I didn't say you could train. A few clones slipped Naruto off. We're bored, and now we got a new jutsu to learn. You watch the bridge. We already saw how much you suck at using it. Naruto dispelled his clones before using the body flicker to make it back to his original position. Huh, it didn't feel as forced this time. I already had been practicing it. He looked down the bridge at Asuma and smirked as he again used the body flicker, only this time he appeared right next to his sensei, scaring the hell out of Tazuma. Sorry, old man. He quickly apologized before looking at the pier joining. Hey, Asuma sensei, either I'm really good and can move already, or this wasn't as hard as you and the Hokage made it sound. Asuma gave Naruto a strange look. You should have crashed about 5 more times before you started getting it. This is only your second. He looked at Naruto's clones, who were back on sentry duty. You said you use your clones to study things, right? Naruto nodded. Yeah, I had them read all that stuff Shiho-chan gave me. I can learn what they learned. The Jonin stared at Naruto for at least 30 seconds before popping a cigarette in his own mouth and lighting it, keeping a cool facade despite the storm going on his head. Okay, Asuma, calm down. You have a goldmine ninjutsu specialist prospect on your team. Big deal. It's cool. But if you get all fired up and start raving about it, you'll swell the kids' heads. You gotta test this clone thing out later. Asuma had to fight the urge to begin frothing at the mouth and running back to Konoha to brag about what he just found out about Naruto. Instead, he gave Naruto a smile. Good work, Naruto. If you can do it without stumbling or falling on the ground, I want you to practice using it to switch elevation. But stay out of the way of the workers and stay sharp. Naruto grinned at his sensei and gave him a salute before going back over where he was. He and Tazuna continued their way of overseeing the bridge work. That's one energetic kid. You mind if I put him to work on the bridge? We could use the extra hands. The faster it finishes, the faster we can leave. He looked back at Naruto, who was practicing on a pile of steel girders, back at Tazuna. Let me think about it. Let him finish learning his jutsu. Maybe. In his head, he was thinking about how much better his team was going to be now that he absolutely knew about what to do about Naruto. Maybe I should start thinking exams. Forest around Tazuna's house. Sasuke looked over at Shikamaru, who was simply sitting and watching the tree. He couldn't believe this. He'd been trying to get up that tree since yesterday, and he hadn't gotten any closer. And here this guy was, not even trying. Hell, Choji had made more attempts than Shikamaru had. The pineapple-haired Genin had only made one, maybe two attempts between then and yesterday. They were the only ones left, and the only souls he could take in this disaster of an exercise was he wasn't the only one still doing it, and neither of them had got any higher than him yet. Naruto from the other team, and the dead last in the academy already knew the exercise. He could accept that at first, since his Jonin sensei didn't look as lax as Kakashi did. When he found out that sensei hadn't taught his team either, and he had learned it on his own to go with a fighting style. If it weren't enough that the kid was on the opposite side of the graduate spectrum, had beaten him in learning this exercise and mastering it. Two fangirls of his, the other team, had beat him in learning it within hours. It didn't matter. He had more important things to worry about than people who weren't there, namely getting up that thrice-damned tree. Sasuke focused to prepare another try at running up the trees, when Shikamaru suddenly stood up and grabbed his kunai. Are you finally going to start trying this out, Sasuke said to him. Shikamaru rubbed his neck. Well, it seems like a waste of effort, just going up and falling off again and again. I'm not a machine like Naruto who could keep going. I know enough about how this works by now, though, to give it a go. Sasuke paused in his own attempts to watch Shikamaru give it a try. He channeled chakra towards his feet and took off tree. Sasuke's eyes widened when he saw Shikamaru blow past his best mark at 17 feet off the ground and keep going all the way to the first branch where he stopped. Ugh, so that's how you do it. Okay, I've got it down. You didn't want to ask such a lazy guy how he did that, but he wanted you to do better. Luckily for Sasuke, Choji asked him the question for him. Hey, Shikamaru, how'd you do that? Shikamaru looked down at his rotund friend. You gotta find a balance and keep it. If you lose the balance, you'll slip off and fall from the tree, even if you had it in the first place. It's so troublesome. Sasuke quickly understood what was being said, and he looked at the tree with renewed vigor, as did Choji. Kakashi took that moment to interject and talk to Shikamaru. It's good that you got the theory down, Shikamaru, but now put it into practice. Come down here again and start until you get to the top of the tree in one go. Letting out a groan of disappointment, expecting to be done, Shikamaru jumped down, slowly walked over to his starting place before looking up. But it's so high. Can't you just tell Asuma I made it all the way up there and let me wing it later? Kakashi gave him an eye smile. No can do, Shikamaru. Until Asuma comes back. Despite not being on my cute little Genin squad, I'm in charge of you until he returns. You need to be able to do this. Now get to him. Come on, Shikamaru, Choji tried to convince his friend. The sooner we do it, the sooner we can get out of here, right? Finding no success in just being able to sit it out in this instance, Shikamaru decided to keep going. Maybe if he just did the least amount he needed to keep Kakashi off his back, he would fluke it out and get to the top of one of his tries. In front of Tazuna's house. Wah! Splash. Get up, Naruto's clone ordered, with a grin on his face and a pebble in his hand while he stood out a fair distance on the water. You guys aren't good enough at this yet. If I can make you fall like this. Sakura pulled herself out of the water next to Ino on the dock and wrung out her hair as both of them glared at Naruto. You're throwing rocks at us. How are you supposed to focus on staying on the water if you keep doing that? Naruto's clone chuckled. You know, you have to know how to fight and dodge on the water too for this to be useful, Sakura-chan. I can't fight, so when you can reach me out here without falling in, you pretty much are done. You know, stood up and squeezed the water up close. I'm going to kick your ass when I get a hold of you. Naruto's clone shook his head. No, you're not. When you get close, I'm going to dispel. I'm not getting killed by you guys. He noticed someone in the background. Oi, Inari, come pick up some rocks and throw it at the girls. It's great. The little boy just glared at Naruto and ran off from the house, confusing the clone and the two Genin girls greatly before they both looked at him. Poor kid, Ino said. After what happened to Kaiza, I guess you'd be like that, huh? Don't do that, Naruto's clone said firmly, getting the girls to look back at him oddly. That's exactly what he wants, for you to fall for his woe-is-me stuff. Sakura took offense to what he said and let him know. Naruto, he lost his father. So did Sasuke, Naruto's clone argued back, silencing her. Remember that, right? Everyone remembers that. It was a big deal. He didn't come back to school for an entire month after his clan was killed. He lost his whole family. Naruto's clone then led off with a shrug, and at least he knew him, and knew the guy that loved him. I don't know what the hell happened to my parents. He juggled the pebbles in his hand. All right, enough. Back to training. That Zabuza guy isn't going to care about any of this when he shows back up. From his tone, Ino and Sakura could tell he didn't want to talk about the subject anymore, but that gave them something to think about. Both boys had lived very hard and didn't act like Inari did. The little boy just seemed like he'd given up. So the clone started getting impatient. Come on, I got my pockets loaded with rocks. Let's go out. Later that evening, around the same time that Asuma, Naruto, and Tazuna came back from the bridge, Kakashi, Sasuke, and Choji, and Shikamaru came from the woods and their training. The two groups converged and walked the rest of the way to the house together. Naruto moved over to the other gang. Did you guys get it yet? Sasuke let out a huh. Shikamaru let off a troublesome. And Choji held his stomach and complained about being hungry, getting a sweat drop out of Naruto. I guess that's a no. The group continued to walk towards the house when they saw Sakura and Ino moving out on the water before following in. What's going on? Naruto's clone looked up at Naruto and the other new arrivals and paled. Boss, run! It then dispelled. Naruto stood with a plain look on his face as he saw Ino and Sakura climbed out of the water until the information from his clone began circulating through his head. Shit! Naruto! Both girls yelled as they saw the original orange-clad shinobi himself standing at the end of the dock and charged at him. Seeing his life flash before his eyes, Naruto screamed like a girl. No! He quickly formed a Ranseal. Body flicker! Ino and Sakura missed him as he disappeared in a puff of smoke and reappeared on top of the house. It was training! Shikamaru eyed Ino, who was huffing and puffing and angrily glaring at Naruto on the roof. I almost thought they were going to start circling the place to keep him up there. What's the matter with you? He almost ran for the hills himself when his angry eyes turned up to her. He threw rocks at us, Ino growled. He threw rocks at us while we were trying to stand on the water. Sakura shook her fist up and said, you're dead when you get down from there, Naruto. She yelled at him, threatening. Naruto dug out his ear in a bored manner. My clone did all that, not me. He must have been bored, though. And if that's the case, I guess I just won't come down, will I? The angry pink-haired girl placed her hands on her hips. So, are you going to stay up there all night? Naruto kicked back and laid down on the roof. It's a nice night, and I don't have anywhere to go. Eventually, he would get hungry. But he was certain that if things were really that tense and dangerous for him, he could send a shadow clone inside to grab a bite to eat for him. Go change clothes before you catch a cold. You've been out here all day. He just stomped her foot angrily, getting a squish noise from his sandals. You made us fall in the water all day. I told you to take your clothes off, but nobody ever listens to me the first time, he defended, flinching slightly when he felt killing intent directed at him from the girls, who he both forgot could get up there in a matter of seconds. Open window. After rapidly pulling off his sandals, Naruto darted in through the window just as they started jumping up to where he was. No running in the house. No running or shoes in the house. The others walked inside as Tsunami yelled at the Genin already in there. Naruto-kun, Tsunami asked the boy from her spot at the table. Are you sure you want to be all the way over there while we eat? Naruto looked up from his bowl, gave her a thumbs up from his spot, a safe reactionary distance away from Ino and Sakura. Yup, this is just fine. I'm great. And it was. He'd rather not be beat up by girls right then. Shikamaru and Shoji were trying and failing to hold back the lactate. So, you're saying that Naruto's clone spent the entire day after you could both stand on water, throwing rocks at you and making you dodge them. Ino Nan stopped eating for a moment. At least it had a good sense to stay away from my face. But these bruises aren't going anywhere for a week. I didn't hit you that hard with them, Ino. Naruto disputed from his position far away. He would have tried fighting you both on the water. But if you hit him once, he would have popped. So he threw rocks at you. It did the same thing. I bet you guys will have it down perfectly soon. Sakura looked over at Sasuke. How about you, Sasuke? Did you finish yet? Sasuke looked up from his food for a moment to answer. Tomorrow, he said, before he went back to eating. Same here, Choji said, before holding his bowl out. Can I get more, please? He let out a happy sigh when his request was fulfilled and his bowl was refilled. Asuma looked at all the genin around the table, the one that had been was still keeping a safe distance away from the potentially volatile pair of Kunoichi his clone had been picking with all day, and smiled. Well, it looks like you're as prepared as you're going to be for Momochi Zabuza. You've all done very well. I can't take it anymore, Inari yelled, standing up from his seat angrily. You all can't beat Gato. He's going to kill every single one of you. Naruto snorted from a spot away from the table. Kid, we're not just going to roll over and quit. Your grandfather isn't, your dad didn't, and well, neither are we. We're not like you. Inari turned his venom on Naruto. Well, I'd hate to be like you. You laugh and joke all the time, but people like you don't know how hard life can be. You done, Naruto asked, his temper getting more and more spiked by Inari's attitude. I'm tired of hearing your nasty little mouth, kid. You haven't said one positive thing since I've shown up. You say we're going to die. Well, what do you think's going to happen to your grandfather if we die? You think Gato's just going to let him go home? No, he'll kill him if he even swore to quit working on the bridge. You're pretty much wishing death on him by wishing death on us. Inari looked at Tazuna, tears forming in his eyes. The old man sadly nodded to Naruto. I can't back out of this, Inari, even if I wanted to. I'm seeing it all the way through. Kaiza would have, and I am too. Naruto stood. He's doing what he can for you, for this country. I walked through town today, and when was the last time you went? He asked Inari, who couldn't answer him. Obviously, you clearly don't know how hard life can be, because if you did, you would be shutting the hell up right now. So you can sit on the sidelines and whine and try and get everyone to feel just as useless as you, or you can do something about it. I really don't care which it is, because I can't deal with you anymore. Naruto stood up and started walking towards the door to leave. Ino shook her head as she saw tears streaming down Inari's face. Naruto, that might have been too much. Hey, where are you going? Yes, she asked before he could exit. He looked over his shoulder. To beat the hell out of my clones, he said angrily. You shouldn't follow me. He shut the door behind him as his footsteps thudded off the wooden porch. After the sound of his footsteps disappeared, Ino and Shikamaru stood up to go after him when Asuma stopped him. Let him go. Guys like Naruto need some time to vent. He'll be fine by himself. Naruto stood in the middle of the forest. Multi-shadow clone jutsu. Naruto surrounded himself with countless clones that all shared his expression. One turned to one of his brethren and punched it in the face, dispelling it. From that moment, a free-for-all was declared. The rest of the night, the sound of angry pitched battle filled the woods. The next morning, a teenage girl with long black hair and brown eyes wearing a pink sleeveless kimono walked through the woods with a basket in hand. When she saw a boy laying down, covered in scuffs and bruises, as she got closer, she took note of the headband wrapped around his neck. A Konoha ninja? This one isn't any of the ones we saw last time. Did they get reinforcements? I left all my weapons at the hideout. She narrowed her eyes and set the basket down before quietly creeping up to him, slowly extending her hand to strangle him right then and there. Right as her hand got in range of touching his throat, he grabbed her wrist and forearm with both hands and wrapped his legs around her neck, proceeding to turn the tables and choke her with his legs. Master clones, I knew I'd get rid of them all. This is the third time this happened, he mumbled sleepily until he failed to hear a pop that usually occurred. He choked his clones for too long. Naruto opened his eyes. He didn't see a clone of himself. He saw a girl his age slowly turning red in his grasp. Naruto yelped and quickly let go before backing against a tree. Oh god, I'm sorry. I've been fighting all night. My opponents were being dicks and started hiding from me. I didn't mean to do that to you. I'm sorry. The girl sat on her knees, coughing as the color in her face started to return to normal. She looked up at the boy that had almost killed her and looked back to her apologetically, fearful blue eyes. Naruto dropped forward and started frantically back. I'm so sorry. He got up and rushed over to her. Are you all right? It looked like you were about to go out. So that means I'm getting better at the triangle choke. But still, I didn't want to use it on a pretty girl like you. That one was meant for someone like Sasuke Tame. Sasuke Bastard. She stopped trying to regain her breath and took note of Naruto's appearance. She hadn't even noticed until it was too late. Even in sleep, his muscles were tensed. Even now, he seemed prepared to retaliate to an attack from anywhere. He didn't look very fast, but from what she'd experienced firsthand, he didn't have to be. He was sudden when close up, able to close small distances up to a foot before she even knew what occurred. Without any weapons, and with him this close to her already, a fight wasn't going to go very well for her. Even if she managed to get far enough away to try and use ninjutsu, she didn't know what else he could do. And getting away once he realized she was a threat was something else altogether. When he had her in his grasp, she couldn't budge an inch. It wasn't in any tactical interest to fight him here, even if it would have been the opposition out for when Zabuza recovered. It's okay, the girl finally said. You must have been quite on edge to attack like that. My name is Haku, by the way, she said with a disarmingly beautiful smile. Naruto grinned at her and let out a sigh of relief. I'm Naruto Uzumaki. I kind of came out here to safely pick a fight. I more or less went overboard. He looked around. It's pretty early. What are you doing out here so early? Haku turned and pointed at a basket of herbs she had been walking with before. I'm out here collecting herbs for someone close to me. He was injured not too long ago, and I wanted to help speed up his recovery. Naruto tilted his head to the sides slightly and smiled. Well, I guess I'll help you out. I did almost choke you out for no good reason. At the least I can do is help you out and pick some herbs for you. He stood up and offered Haku a hand. Just tell me what I need to grab for you. Yeah. Taking his offered hand with a smile, Haku stood up and went to collect her basket before leading Naruto to a nearby area to collect herbs. The two worked in comfortable silence until Haku spoke up. So Naruto, what are you doing out here? Who were you fighting? Now Naruto didn't want to say. Oh, I was out here fighting with more than 100 copies of myself to blow off a murderous temper that was initially directed at some sniveling brat. That'd be weird. It most likely scared the girl, who already was possibly terrorized of him. Anyway, for good. Away for good. But he was Naruto Uzumaki, and thinking on his feet was all he had, was what gotten him famous. The fact that he wasn't famous was relevant. Oh, I was fighting nature, Naruto said, before fighting the urge to face him. Oh, that was so stupid. Ugh, fine, roll with it. Combat etiquette says you cannot judge a battle plan while in battle is still carrying out. You have to wait until it's over. He kept up his grinning face. Yep, last night was pretty nice, so I decided to camp out here. The weather is great in this country. You're not from the land of waves, Haku asked. She knew where he was from. The headband was clear in its specification of his village allegiance. Naruto shook his head. No, I'm from the village hidden, please. I'm a ninja on a mission in this village. A ninja, Haku repeated in amusement. You must be very strong. I'd like to think, Naruto said, laughing slightly. But I'm not that good yet. I've got a long way to go before I'm as strong as I want to be. I've been training really hard for a while now. Haku nodded and spoke again. Why is it you want to gain strength? So that I can be Hokage, Naruto answered the question. That way people will see me as someone important. So you do this for others, Haku said seriously. You gain strength and train for others. Naruto looked at her with a blank face, telling her that he didn't understand. It's just, I believe a person is When a person has something important that they want to protect, that's when they become truly strong. A smile slowly starts to spread around Naruto's face. I like that. You're absolutely right, Hakuchan. He thought of his team, of Iruka, of Shiho, of the Hokage. I have things that I want to protect, and I'll definitely keep getting stronger to protect them. Haku stood with her basket full. Then I believe that there won't be a limit to how strong you can get, Naruto. She began to leave before turning around. Oh, and by the way, I am a boy. Naruto paled for a second before calming himself down prior to freaking out, thinking, you got a good poker face, but that was a lie. What? Haku was surprised at him calling her out on that. I don't see how you could say that to me, Naruto. Naruto shrugged. It was a good double bluff. Dress like a girl and call yourself a boy to throw others off. He growled lowly. I can only imagine what Gato's goons lurking around. Why you did that. He then brightened back up. But remember, I did choke you. It wasn't like I... He took a gulp of fear. It wasn't like I didn't feel anything when I had you. Both Naruto and Haku brushed brightly. I see, Haku said, breaking the silence. Naruto simply took more time in the silence before mustering up the will to talk. So should I start running now, or are you not going to try and kill me for that? Because I swear it was an accident. Haku waved out his trap. It's okay. I have to go now, she said, turning to leave. Naruto was about to let her go when he stopped. Hey, do you think you could come back tomorrow? This was nice. Haku was about to tell him no, when she saw the smile on his face, almost begging her to say yes, even though she knew she couldn't. She just didn't have it in her heart to turn him down. Not tomorrow. His face fell. Maybe we can meet up the day after tomorrow. Naruto's good mood returned in full force. He gave her a thumbs up. Actually, that works just fine too, right here, so we both know where to find each other? Haku nodded. Yes, that sounds fine, Naruto. Goodbye. She returned his smile with one of her own that brightened his disposition even further. Goodbye, Haku. Naruto said happily. I'll see you soon. He was ecstatic. It had never been this easy for him to make friends in the leaf. And she'd actually agreed to come back the day after tomorrow. His morning up was shaping nicely, to say the very least. Yes, Naruto-kun, Haku thought sadly as she walked away. I will be seeing you soon, sooner than you think, and not in the most amiable conditions either. As Haku got out of sight, Naruto had thought, if he was able to find out she was a girl, then who's to say that none of Gato, the brutes under Gato, could either? Naruto quickly formed a shadow clone, pointed at Hatu's Jiraiya. Follow Haku, and make sure she gets home all right. And don't let her see you either. She might think we're creepy if you get caught. Asuma stood in front of the house with Tazuna, Kakashi, Team 7, and the remainder of Team 10 when Naruto came ambling out of the forest. There he is, and from the look on his face, he's not angry anymore. Are you ready to guard Tazuna? You'll be with Kakashi today. Naruto nodded. I'm fine, Asuma-sensei. I just had to blow off some steam, but I'm completely calm now. Sorry about last night, but that kid just... It's alright, Naruto, Asuma said. You don't have to say anything. He motioned for Sasuke and Choji and Shikamaru. You guys are with me today. Let's go. They nodded and followed Asuma into the woods to continue their training. Kakashi looked at the remaining Genin, Naruto, Sakura, and Ino, and gave them all a smile. And that means the rest of you are with me. We're on Tazuna guard duty today. They all agreed easily enough and began walking to Tazuna from the house to the bridge. Before they got too far away, Naruto turned back towards the house, and he saw Nari looking out the window until he realized Naruto caught his gaze and moved to hide. Shaking his head, Naruto turned his attention to the work he was meant to do that day.
Is this what you were doing all day yesterday? How boring, Naruto. Why'd you say all of that to Inari last night? Where did you go? What did you do last night? Why is your face all scuffed up?
Naruto leaned against the finished portion of the bridge railing, as did Sakura and Ino on both sides of him. Only they were badgering him with questions. Naruto would never have thought that he'd be the one that wanted silence. Hell, part of him wanted them to start yapping about Sasuke. At least they would stop asking him stuff. Honestly, he wished that his windbreaker was something akin to a soundproof barrier, because he would have liked nothing better than to not have to hear them at the moment.
In the order you asked, yes, I was doing this all day yesterday. Don't worry why I said that stuff to Inari. It's not important. I went to a strip club. I got a lap dance, and the strippers were a little rough. Two fists deposited themselves on his cheeks. Ow, but worth it.
Why didn't that hurt you more, Ino fumed. It didn't even look like he registered the hit. Naruto squished his mouth around and did one of them dislodge a molar with one of those hits? Oh well. He didn't care right then.
It did hurt. I'm leaning against the railing and I get punched in my face every single day. I hit harder than you.
Sakura crossed her arms and looked away. Stop trying to be cool, Naruto.
Naruto looked at her and then looked at Ino. I'm cool, right, Naruto?
Ino gave him a wry smile. You're cooler than everyone thought you were, but you're still not as cool as Sasuke. Both girls let off a swoon and repeated Sasuke's name wistfully.
And on that note, he said, as he got off the railing and walked away from the girls to find Kakashi before they could start getting started on their Sasuke kick. A burst of his sonar jutsu located Kakashi's tall, spiky silhouette easily enough, and the young blonde bounded over to him. "Hey, Kakashi-sensei." Sora Joni looked down at Naruto. "Oh, Naruto, any trouble?" The boy shook his head. "No, nothing so far," Naruto said, somewhat downtrodden. He was getting antsy. As much as he tried hiding it, he wanted some action to go down. He couldn't help himself. Sasuke had fought a Joni, and he hadn't gotten to fight anyone else yet. "Kakashi-sensei, what can you tell me about the Zabuza guy? You fought him and beat him, didn't you?" Kakashi nodded. "He's a top-level ninja, Naruto. The kind of guy that a new genin like you shouldn't even consider fighting, even under the most auspicious circumstances, because he will always be dangerous. He almost beat me and killed the entire team." Naruto gulped. "What did he do?" Kakashi looked up and thought as he remembered the events of the battle. "He managed to trap me and target my genin. Luckily, Choji showed a lot of heart and destroyed the clone with his family jutsu. That let Sasuke shoot off a jutsu of his own that forced Zabuza to let me go. From there on, I refused to let him get any other chances. Still, he got away with that hunter nin when they showed up. I should have been more attentive. We were lucky after that trouble with the Demon Brothers earlier. Choji had the idea to send for Konoha for some assistance. What if it had been his own team? What if Team Ten had gotten this mission instead? He was fairly certain they wouldn't have turned back either. They would have wound up fighting whoever the Zabuza guy was. What if Asuma had been the one out and got trapped, unable to defend the students? Could he, Ino, and Shikamaru have been able to get him out? Could they win if they had to fight? I believe that when a person has something important to that they want to protect, that's when they can become truly strong. It won't matter, Kakashi-sensei, Naruto said, prompting Kakashi to look at him in mild surprise. Blonde had a look of determination on his face. We won't lose to Zabuza, or that hunter nin, or anyone. We're not going to let this keep happening to this country, Kakashi-sensei. If we're going to show this place that heroes still exist, then we have to be those heroes, aren't we? Naruto's face morphed into one of shock before his gaze hardened over. Trouble. Zabuza? Kakashi wondered. It didn't really fit his MO to be this blunt in his approach. Naruto shook his head. No, it's a bunch of thugs coming this way. Kakashi took note of the serious look on Naruto's face. You take Ino and Sakura and handle it. I don't believe that you have any combat experience. While fighting powerful ninja and taking on some thugs are completely different things, you could still use some experience. I'll stay back with Tazuna. Naruto nodded and made a ram seal before popping off in a burst of smoke. He already has that jutsu down well enough to feel comfortable using it like this. You really do have your father's talent inside you, Naruto, and your mother's. Naruto appeared in front of Ino and Sakura in a puff of smoke. We need to go now. Where? Sakura asked, as she and her fellow Konichi stood up and followed Naruto, who immediately took off running. What's the matter? Naruto and the girls kept running for a few minutes before reaching the edge of the bridge where several of Naruto's clones had their kunai on at the ready and behind the construction gate. On the other side stood about 20 of Gato's men preparing to storm the site. Outside, they stood, terrorizing people off the streets and otherwise harassing people joyfully.
You don't want to be on the side of these fools. What do you all care anyways? This isn't your country. It isn't your problem. It is now, Naruto said, cracking his knuckles.
He stared down, the thugs holding a myriad of weapons, from simple household tools to actual swords.
Now, I don't think you want to be on Gato's side. You should leave now.
He pulled up a fistful of shuriken. All the men laughed at Naruto.
A bunch of punk kids are going to tell us to leave. Get in there and tear that brat apart.
Naruto didn't say a word. He simply formed a seal for his most battle-ready ninjutsu and wound up side to side with 50 clones, all shuriken in there.
Who's going to tear who apart?
With that, half of Naruto's clones jumped to the height of the fence and pelted every thug in range with their weapons. That lone attack cut down several of Gato's thugs that were unable to run away and hide behind any cover fast enough.
Is that all you got, Brad? You're dead when we get in there.
Naruto didn't say anything. Half his clones simply boosted the others over to allow them to jump to the thug's side and begin a melee battle. The clones beat down the men and took them by surprise before they realized what was happening. The return assault began claiming the lives of the shadow clones sent after them, but not fast or efficiently enough. The remaining clones on Naruto's side took the tops of the gates and began picking off hapless men in the middle of their scrum against the infantry clones, one by one, with precise kunai shots that grievously wounded many. Eventually, the casualties were too great for them to continue fighting. They started retreating, leaving their wounded comrades moaning in pain in the streets as the retreat started becoming a rout, Naruto's clones chasing them all the way. The people who had been watching from the safe points came outside and started cheering at seeing someone show Gato's goons up for the first time in a long time. As they began cheering, Naruto dispelled his clones and let out a sheepish grin across his face as the attention fell on him.
Ino and Sakura stood back, having watched the whole thing firsthand. The original Naruto hadn't moved an inch the entire fight. His clones had done all the fighting and had been an overwhelming force against the group of men. They were largely untrained floods, meant more to intimidate than fight actual battles. But he hadn't even needed to go over and fight himself. He hadn't even needed to say a single word. Sakura looked at Naruto uncomfortably. Soaked up the praise from the workers who had seen a fight.
When Shikamaru said that Naruto was a one-man army, was...
Ino nodded and smiled fondly at Naruto's victory.
Shikamaru loves Naruto's shadow clones more than Naruto does himself sometimes, I swear. He says, why play shogi when I have real soldiers to work strategies with? She looked at Sakura, who could still hardly believe the usefulness of Naruto's signature jutsu.
That's why he said, I don't know whether or not Sasuke is stronger than Naruto. It wouldn't be fair to Naruto to just say that he was blindly. Naruto ran over to the girls. Their conversation was cut short.
I think I should stay here in case something happens again. If something does happen on your end, I'll have some clones with you so that I can find out for myself. Tell Kakashi, Sensei, would you?
Ino playfully faux-saluted, getting him to roll his eyes amusedly. Sakura put on a tennis smile.
Sure thing, Naruto. You got it. They both took off back towards the unfinished part of the bridge where Kakashi and Tazuna were.
Naruto's smiles rock as he turned towards the one of the men that had been left behind and found one that wasn't too bad off. His attitude shifted as he remembered one of the most important lessons Shiho pounded into his head early on. Information was one of the most powerful tools in the shinobi world. Taking this to mind, Naruto made his way over to the man who saw him coming and fearfully crawled along the ground until he reached a weapon and got to his feet. He stood up with a small club in his hands and glared at Naruto hatefully.
You think you'll get away with this, you monster? There's more where we came from, he yelled, before charging Naruto outright.
I know, Naruto said lowly, as he prepared himself for the incoming attacker. Naruto darted forward as the club swung. He maneuvered himself so that the dangerous portion of the club didn't hit him. Instead, inside the man's fist, hit his bicep and shoulder. Naruto used his diminutive frame to jump up and use the top of his head as a battering and snapped the man's jaw set. He was sure it cracked his jaw when his teeth audibly clicked. As the man stumbled back, Naruto grabbed both his wrists, freeing up his front with no defenses whatsoever. Naruto kicked out the insides of his legs to drop him to his knees and planted the sole of his foot right on the man's face, sticking with the use of chakra. Naruto jumped forward, ignoring the fact that the man was on his knees already, and drove him into his back, delivering a stomp kick that pressed the man's head between his foot and the ground.
Collapsing fortification.
Naruto let go of the man's limp arm and peeled his foot off from his face to see he was unconscious with multiple broken bones on his visage. Naruto formed a shadow clone to drag him off somewhere, possibly to interrogate him, and let out a sigh. He looked down at his hands to see that they were shaking. He couldn't will them to stop. He just hoped that it was just nerves from the adrenaline wearing off. He decided to stake out the entrance of the building's site the rest of the day, and took a seat near the gate to stand watch. He reflected on the battle he had just had. It wasn't a Jonin for sure, but he thought he'd done awesome. He started thinking about what he'd done. A clone popped and given its memories back to Naruto, a memory that caused Naruto to gasp in shock.
Haku.
How to Train Your Genin, Tip 5. Cultivate your genin's interests. Unless you have a ninja based from a clan on your squad, you will usually be dealing with a blank slate as far as potential ability goes. The grades that they make in the academy are good indicators towards where their strength may lie upon graduating, but that usually won't tell the whole story of any one ninja's potential. The best way to make a splendid shinobi out of your raw genin is to pay close attention to how they do everything, and I mean everything. How your ninja goes about doing basically anything in their everyday life is an indication of where their strengths lie. Something as simple as the way they tackle the simple D-ranked missions will undoubtedly be saddled with early on will give you good signs of what they feel best doing. Before taking the mission, do they ask many questions? That could be a sign of someone interested in an intelligence career. During missions, do they work fast and complete the assignment with more energy to breathe? This could be a quick response ninja or a potential ninjutsu specialist once their chakra reserves increase higher. The point is, do not have them settle into a cookie-cutter mold of what you see most ninja doing. The more unique a ninja is, both in skill and possibly in eccentricity, the more likely they are to be powerful or good at what they do. Tell me you haven't seen a couple of wingnuts around the village, and then after asking about that crazy guy over there, come to learn they're 10 times better than you. Individuality is important towards a ninja's overall skill set. Having everyone just be the same as everyone else in their talents makes for a very uniform, one-dimensional army, and that has always been the detriment to martial might. Jutsu list. Triangle choke, C-rank taijutsu, offensive, defensive, a type of four-figure choke hold which strangles the opponent by encircling their opponent's neck with one arm within the legs in a configuration similar to the shape of a triangle. The technique is a type of lateral vascular restraint that constricts the blood flow from the carotid arteries to the brain. Unconsciousness, when properly executed, will come in under 7 seconds. Death will occur in under 20. Not even adding in the variable of lower body strength. From this position, one could deliver powerful elbow strikes to the head or draw kunai or other sort of bladed weapon to kill an opponent. Collapsing fortification, D-rank taijutsu, offensive. Using the sticking effects of chakra to grab onto an opponent's arms and keep them from breaking your grip, the user has a wide-open close-range avenue to begin assaulting an opponent with knees, headbutts, and front-aimed kicks. The effectiveness of this technique is dependent on your enemy and your own skill in fighting without use of their arms, as both your arms will be unavailable for the duration of this technique. Author's notes. Nothing to say. Blah. I got a fight tonight. I'm going to kick some serious ass because I'm awesome. Then I'm going to come back and write a paper. Because apparently my schedule likes messing with my head and placing two things back to back that should not even come close to each other. But you don't care. Whatever. Chapter up. Hope is enjoyable. Catch